You're listening to HG 101, a proud part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games Podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
Today we are doing Batman, the video game. It's the only one that was ever made.
It's nice that Batman finally got a video game, and I just wish there were more of them.
This comes from a wonderful time of movie games, I think, because it doesn't have anything to do with the movie.
Like, it gets Batman right. Like, if it were really based on the movie, like, Batman would be, like, really clumsy, really slow. He'll fall through the roof, stand there, and then a bunch of dudes will, like, take turns punching at him, and Batman will just, like, catch their punches, and, like, while standing basically motionless except for his arms, like, in this game, he moves like you think Batman's gonna move.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dogs Bower. Hey, Dogs Bower. Hey, Dogs Bower. Hey, Dogs Bower.
I think that's obvious.
Hey there, it's another episode of the Top 47,858 Games of All Time, and this time around, it is Second Life. Oh, this is going to be tricky.
That's not a very enthusiastic introduction. This game deserves a little more, maybe.
Yes,
Second
it does.
Life! It's, you've had life, it's time for life too! Second Life, that's what we're bringing today.
This one comes to us from Eaters the Manful from Apple Podcasts.
Can I mention real quick,
go ahead.
I am pretty sure Eaters admitted to nominating this game to us because it would be difficult to do. So thank you, Eaters, jackass, if that was correct. Otherwise, I've slandered your good name for no reason. But I think it was handed to us like, you know, check it out because it's going to be difficult, but also interesting.
It was developed and published by Linden Labs.
Linden Lab.
Linden
sorry,
Labs.
So sorry.
Yeah, it is.
If you spend more than 10 minutes on the Second Life forum, someone will correct you with Linden Lab, and they will not be happy about it. So please always say that. Sorry, it's instilled in me.
That's fair enough.
At least,
God damn, it is Linden Lab. So just one. It's the Linden
one
Lab.
One lab.
Yeah, it's just one dog.
Released on the PC, I'm not sure it's on anything else at this point. I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
Oh wait,
nope, nothing else.
It's only on PC. That's it.
Not even on the Mac. Wow.
It is kind of on the Mac, but they've been dropping support for it. You have to get it. I'll get into it. Okay, I'm already doing it. I'm already talking too much.
And released originally on June 23rd, 2003. Is that correct?
Yes, but it was in public beta back in 2002.
Okay. And with us, we've got Cal and a special guest.
Hi, I'm Alex.
You should recognize Alex if you listen to our show and haven't just shown up for no reason on Second Life for some inane reason. You always show up on the best games, Alex. Always the best games.
Listen, I've
I have so much to say about Second Life. I am so sorry I keep interrupting. I just, oh, I'm so eager. I love this game. I'm
so glad you're here, because it's like, oh, Second Life, we're screwed.
We called Alex here because he is basically our expert. We had to call in the big guns to pull this off. We had to call in favors. We had to suit up for this.
Yeah, you don't even want to know how many Lindens they sent me for this. Oh my god.
It's a currency, right? That is, there we go. We're already getting in on the game, and nobody knows what's going on.
Alex, how would you summarize Second Life to somebody who has never heard of it?
Okay, Second Life is a 3D virtual world where the assets are primarily created by the users, where it is, I would also describe it as a 3D chat platform with scripting capabilities and building capabilities. I think that's like the simplest way to put it, the most absolute simplest way to put it.
This is an objective way. There's no,
there's
no embellishment. That's what it does is.
Yeah.
But this game is, it's kind of an evolution of 3D chat rooms, right? Like that's basically the core line of this game is let's sort of make a 3D chat room that's way more interactive, but it's not a, it is an MMO, but it's not a guided MMO.
No.
It would be weird to call it like a corporate MMO, considering how many corporations jumped into it.
And jumped out.
Yes. Because this one, it's all about the sort of like the community and the people in it controlling a lot of what happens within the actual game. I keep calling it a game. Is it fair to call it a game, or is it a little bit more something else? Is that getting really far ahead of ourselves?
Okay, I'm going to give you a quick analogy before I get into the answer. I think it could be considered a game, personally, but if have y'all ever had to ask a question about Linux in a Linux forum? And
I have not been so lucky, no.
No, I would avoid it. So, I would delete my computer.
A lot of Second Life users are all wonderful people, but most of them are old school coders. And when you ask question, when you say something like, oh, Second Life is my favorite game on certain Second Life forums, you will get a lot of exasperated sigh emotes sent to you. And they'll be like, it's not a game. There is no clear objective, nor any rewards for it. And they get into this real, like, talking about I would describe it as a game, but I would also describe it as a chat platform plus, it's a lot of things.
There's definitely an element, I guess the longer it's been running, that it's used as a sort of role-playing instrument, I guess. It's because I think when it launched, that wasn't as popular, like, that wasn't a thing as much. Like, very early on, it was, it evolved into what it currently is used for as a platform of, whereas it originally was just, like, a weird, like, conceptual thing.
Yeah, okay, so it's kind of interesting because a lot of the first residents in Second Life actually came from the, do y'all remember Sims Online? The old 2002...
I've heard of it, and I've seen some of it, but I've never played it.
Well, a lot of the early residents were from the Sims Online, actually. After the Sims Online closed, a lot of folks migrated to Second Life in the early days. And so because of that, they brought in what they wanted on the platform, which was, of course, Sims-type stuff. Role-playing, building, kind of community-building, stuff like that.
So that makes some sense. So I actually didn't realize the timeline for that. I was always... I forgot the Sims Online was... like pretty early on, I guess.
It's like 2001, I think.
Yeah,
it was real early.
You know something I actually read recently about The Sims Online? I think Jade Raymond worked on that one. She then made Assassin's Creed and now works on Google Stadia, apparently, which is interesting.
That is interesting.
Complete other thing if you want trivia facts. Now with Second Life, was that their goal? I mean, obviously, when they made the Second Life experience, did Linden Labs have a Linden Lab?
We're gonna get so much hate mail.
I'm gonna do my best. That's what we do on this show. Our best. Was that their? Because they made it more open, right? So this was like a weird thing to do. Do you know? Like, were they just like, you figure it out to the community that showed up?
Well, it actually started out as a first-person shooter back in when it was under development. And that's why the game has built-in damage and stuff like that, plus weapon physics.
I didn't actually know that.
Mm-hmm. It originally started development as an open world first person shooter, and then they put in a couple of building aspects, and everyone preferred the building aspects.
Were people actually close to Minecraft? Is that what you're saying? They were like, this gotta go on either way. It could be Minecraft, or it was gonna be Second Life.
It got to be Second Life, yeah.
Do people actually use the FPS code that often?
Yes, actually, there's quite a few combat communities in Second Life. That's a pretty thriving thing. And then people can build it in their own scripting with the, whatchamacallit, inbuilt kind of weapon scripting to make, like, huge, massive, like, HUDs and all kinds of... I don't do the first-person stuff in SL, but yeah, it's very popular and very, very consistently used, yeah.
So we are talking about a game that started as such in 2003. I know it's closed betas and stuff. It's obviously it's 2019, and we're burning out of 2019 at the moment. That is, by my math, is 16 years. Now that suggests to me that technology has marched on a little bit. Has it been constantly re-updated? Are we looking at completely different, like, scale wise? Like, an MMO in 2003 wouldn't have supported enough people, right? Like, in terms of, you still get dropped in the starter island. Is that different than what it was?
It is very different. A lot of things have kind of changed the same, especially the interface. But a lot of things have been updated. You can import. The big thing is you can import mesh models from outside the game and import them into the game to make things that don't look as crappy. they look really good. You can actually do some really, really cool stuff.
No, you see, I had seen Second Life in 2003, you know, because it was, obviously it was a lot of news coverage. Whoa, this is crazy. But now when I look at it, I'm like, this is the same thing, right? Like, this is the, because I remember the low texture detail, the very chunky, kind of weird looking, I don't know, like smudgy. I don't know how to describe the exact original look, but
that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, it just looks like a reasonably decent, like, MMO. It's quite high detail. I assume that chugs any sort of modern system as well. It feels like,
It can. You kind of do have to turn down settings in certain areas. And
yeah, even on my PC, it gets chunky every so often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to kind of, you can turn down texture levels and level of detail, but yeah, it can really clog up your system, especially because it's user-made. There are some people who make game assets who kind of make really nice optimized stuff and import it into the game, and then there are just hobbyists who just like to make cool things in Blender and don't do any optimization, so you can have, like, this massive car, and it's, like, takes up barely any texture space, and then you can have this teeny tiny piece of jewelry, and because of the way that they designed and textured it, leaving in, like, way too many triangles and faces, it can crash the system.
It is time to subdivide the cube. Begin the subdivision.
The impression I got from you, Alex, is that there's a very complicated, maybe not completely optimal way they do the code in this game, but they can't really change it because I have to screw up too much. Is that about right?
Yeah, there's a lot of things. SL has a kind of scripting language in it, and I want to say it's based on C#, but please do not quote me on that, because I'm gonna Linden Lab nerds who are listening to me,
did
please
you say Linden Lab nerds?
I said lab.
I
please,
swear
please,
I heard
God,
an S.
No. You have no idea how many times I got corrected by people when I said Linden Lab. Oh my god. Anyway, so what was the question again? I'm so sorry, I got distracted for
the programming, I believe.
Code. Well, they haven't there's a lot of legacy code that's still there, but there's, because again, it would break a lot of older things, but there's also a lot of they put in the Havoc engine at one point just so they could put in vehicles. Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. That's a very popular engine actually for using physics when they developed it, because vehicle physics are horrible to write on your own. So it has, like, server side physics now, basically, or vehicles. Okay.
Yeah, they're okay physics. They, sometimes your vehicle will, if you're crossing from one, because every region in SL is on a different server, so if you're driving down the road and you go from one, and since all the regions are kind of connected as one big landmass in a lot of places, if you're just driving and you go from one region to another and it's on a weird server, if it doesn't pick up the code, like if it kind of doesn't do a nice handshake between one region and the other, your Havoc vehicle will just go flying through the air and then crashing into the ground, and then you will be spinning out of bounds. And this happens very frequently. I have very frequently been spun out of bounds while driving.
I had that exact problem with, what was it? Oh, goodness. Saints Row 2, the PC port, was infamous for that.
Oh, God.
Yes!
That was
it's the thing. Like that, would load, you say?
The city chunks, and yeah, the city chunk. Oh, we forgot to load! Bye! Oh, yeah, but that's a lot more reasonable in Second Life.
So, here's another question I think Alice can answer. What would you say people generally do on Second Life? How would you describe that?
What's your podcast rated?
Let's keep it PG, everybody!
All right, okay, so if we're taking out the whatever stuff...
The sword elements, we acknowledge they exist, but...
They do exist, yeah, they're very popular.
Oh, okay.
We might have covered a furry visual novel, but we got our limits here.
Okay. So, aside from the things that consenting adults do in SL, there are other things to do. The big one is, of course, role-playing communities. There's a ton of them. They range from high fantasy to just regular-ass families to very specifically, not to get too weird, but do you remember that there's a series of novels, sci-fi novels, called Gore, G-O-R?
I know what you're referring
to. Yeah, there's a big community of folks who are into that, but that kind of crosses into the adult activities community
as well. Yeah, they don't treat women very well.
No, it's a thing. It's a thing. But
it's a series of, like, communities and sub-communities, basically.
Yes,
within.
There's furries, there's a post-apocalyptic community, there's multiple time period-based communities, and they're all of various, like, seriousness. There's a community themed to 1920s Berlin that's very, very serious. And then there's a community I can think of that's themed to kind of the 40s and 50s that is extremely goofy. And I think that's a place where I've role played as a mobster dog before. Like, not a furry, like, whatever, but like a baby dog.
Like a literal dog.
Yeah, Pomeranian in particular.
Can I make a quick tangent real quick?
Of course.
Alex is referring to a 1920s Chicago sim we looked at.
No, I'm not.
Okay, should we not bring that up then?
You can bring that up, that's fine. I think that's a good point.
I mean,
but no, I was referring to Bay City in particular, and then before then, I was specifically referring to 1920s Berlin, which is a project that's part role-playing, part a historical look at pre-Nazi Germany with a big emphasis on the social factors that led to a lot of fascism. Very interesting space, but you cannot go there as a Pomeranian talking dog.
I'm glad that you did actually bring up the fact that we have mentioned, you know, the role-playing aspect, but the actual player controller, the player unit in the game, is not confined to a biped. It's not a...
Mm-mm.
You're not stuck as a person, which is a big difference, I think, with Second Life and pretty much every other existent MMO that's, you know, not a very niche-specific thing, like you are a dragon or something like that. This one is just, you can basically attach your player controller to anything, and then you use the scripting to kind of get things onto and through that. Is that, like, kind of how that works?
What it is, there is an inbuilt player model with its own rigging system. They just advanced it with something called Bento, so now you can actually have a rig for tails and wings and other adult body parts. And, what you do is you can attach anything to that rigging system. Now, a lot of that will look like crap, but if you take the skeleton rigging system of your avatar, because you can export it and you can use it, build a mesh model in Blender on that, and then adjust kind of the way it moves, you can basically do anything, especially if you build in your own animations. So it's basically a rigging, like a rig that you're importing models and animations onto.
Now, this suggests to me that this game would take an enormous amount of storage space and kind of processing power to run. If everyone just does that, basically, if you have this humongous array of just stuff that's added into the game. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of, you join an area and it just kind of downloads the whole thing. It's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, it downloads it, but it also is constantly streaming in textures. Because people, the biggest texture hogs and the biggest resource hogs are actually the avatars, and you can turn down the complexity or just choose not to render them at all. So half the time, I don't see anybody around me. I just see a bunch of really weird kind of static, because they replace them with static images or like kind of a weird outline, if you have to. Yeah.
Grand. Now, the other thing I do want to find out, because you mentioned all these instances, when someone joins the game, you said they, like, connected as a landmass, so How do you like join instances in this game? Because this is all kind of stuff that's very important to the experience.
There's several ways. There's like a URL bar at the top that I think you can put in places in. There's places that the game suggests to you that are cool to visit. That's where I found a few interesting places. Or you could get a link to a place from friends and such.
Yeah, that's one way to do it, is you can take what's called like an SL URL. That is basically a URL that will direct you to a direct teleport point in anywhere in SL. You actually start the game at a starting point, at a starting island. I think y'all mentioned it earlier, Cal. And it gets you to a little tutorial, and then after that you can they kind of teleport you to a random starter area, which would be like a newbie area on any of the mainland masses, because there's a bunch of continents and stuff. But yeah, for the most part, you go around, you can either walk or you can use a direct SL URL to get around. And you can also have people offer to teleport you places and stuff like that.
That sounds risky. That sounds risky, just so.
It is very.
You want to teleport? Oh, okay, mister.
But for the most part, it's pretty. You also can just search. There's like a web search you can do where you can search for what you're looking for, and it'll give you a list of places to go, and you can click that, and it'll teleport you there directly. You used to not be able to directly teleport. You used to have to use teleport hubs, and it sucked. And there's a reason. The platform blew up once they got rid of those teleport hubs. I'm just saying. Direct teleports really helped the game.
So, I mean, but that's interesting, the direct teleport stuff that you're mentioning, and the teleport hubs. The hubs kind of sounds like a concept, like, earlier on in development, like, keep everything kind of connected as a real space kind of thing, like, as a sort of, like, meta thing, rather than just, no, it's just a computer thing, and you just just teleport wherever you want.
Yeah, it really did kind of create a more cohesive unit, a cohesive kind of space, and again, there are still, like, continents, I use quotes on that in SL, where it's a bunch of different land regions all kind of smushed together, and a lot of them are interconnected, but there's a lot of private regions as well that users can just kind of purchase a region and put in the middle of nowhere and do whatever they want on it.
So yeah, can you just hop in your car and propel yourself through the space alternatively to everywhere? Or yeah, is it like
No, if the region doesn't connect, I have to directly teleport in. You can't just, it's funny, if you look at the Second Life map, like the world map, there's a bunch of different squares. Each of them is a region, and there's like one or two squares where there's just like nothing around it, and you literally have to just directly teleport in. You can't, unfortunately, drive through the ocean, because the ocean doesn't literally exist.
Do you know how long it takes to get from, like, one area, like, one end of the map to the other, assuming that you didn't have to teleport anywhere?
If we're going to there's one big, big, big landmass that's interconnected. Like, it's like a continent that they added a bunch of oceans, so you can kind of go between everything. It's, I would say from one point, I don't know, it would depend, are you doing a vehicle, are you taking a train, it would depend on how fast you're going, basically.
Now, hold on, there's a train involved.
Yes, Second Life has a very involved public transit system, multiple public transit systems. There's the Second Life Railroad, there are the Yava Pods, which I think I showed off to Bob.
Lance Riders or something? Are they like buses or what's there?
There are buses. The Yava Pods are just pods, but they have buses too.
Basically like a monorail on a pod.
I love monorails.
Yeah. The public transit, the train has like train, I can't pronounce it, gauges. It's the train thing is too complicated for my brain, but it's an extremely scripted, there's like all kinds of train crap. I don't know. If you like model trains, you'll probably like it. I don't know enough about trains, but it's cool because you can just put your train on it and it'll just take you places. It's a really old, God, it was built by Linden Lab, and now I think Linden Lab is like, hey, users, you take care of this now. And they're like, okay. And so now it's user run.
So you could get on the train and just sit on the train, but now you have to be the train?
No. No, there are trains that go that just kind of there are trains that go on their own that are just kind of going back and forth automatically on the train tracks, but you can also put your own train on the train tracks and go where you want to. If anybody in here is interested in virtual train stuff and you want to actually play SL for some reason after you listen to me, check out the VRC. They're a virtual rail I think it's a virtual rail consortium, and they do a lot of maintenance work on the trains now, and they're pretty cool.
I love this general idea, just like, yeah, there's this community-run train thing in Second Life, it's cool, it exists. That's something that I think is, like, I just really want to get out of this, is, like, like, Second Life is bizarre in the amount of community effort, I guess, that's just in it to make it interesting, to make it like a, like it's like community, not community, it's like historical reenactors or something, except everyone kind of does it more or less for free, except you, there is an economy. Can you maybe mention the economy stuff a little bit so we...
Sure, sure. So, everything in Second Life, you can build stuff in-world, you can import your own stuff, but there's also a you can also sell things. There is an in-world currency called, lindens, and you can exchange lindens, you can basically buy and sell lindens with other people, so you can take the lindens that you have, go onto the, I think it's called the SL Stock Exchange, SL Exchange, now I forget the name, they keep changing, and you can go and buy lindens, in which case you're technically buying lindens from another user, or you can sell lindens, in which case you're selling lindens to another user, and that's, one way you can kind of, make money from SL, and yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
Cal looked this up, and apparently this has its own GDP, which I thought was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's at some point, I think at its peak, it was about $64 million, was it, the GDP of Second Life?
Lindens used to be a genuine investment. Do not invest in lindens, by the way. Do not do that right now.
Absolutely do not invest in any digital currency, please, for the love of God. Do not do that. They will burst, and you will lose everything. Stop, please.
And it did get really big, but again, it burst, and the bubble of an SL burst around, I want to say, 2009, 2010 or so.
Which is actually really impressive, because the dot-com bubble burst in, like, 1998.
Yeah, like,
so. So, keep on going for another decade. It's pretty good.
Was 2009 when all the corporations fell out of this?
I think so. I think that was about the time. It was just the big thing. Okay, one of the big things that happened in SL was that there was a land baron, Anse Chung. She was the first millionaire in SL. There was an article about her in Business Week, I think, in 2006. And then there was like a gold rush. Everyone was flooding in trying to make their money. And she ended up doing an interview in 2007, 2008 on CNN. And that interview was very famous because halfway through, it got griefed. Because griefers, you know, they do exist in Second Life. They kind of go into chat and flood things. They flooded an adult item, many of these adult items, to be PG, and while on air, at the lady. These were physical items, and they were just tossing them right at her live on CNN. And they kept trying to kick people who were doing that, but the Second Life person who was being interviewed by CNN, they kept just flooding that stuff at her. And after that, Second Life kind of got a reputation for being a little irreputable, a little wild.
I totally support throwing objects of that nature at big capitalists, so I mean...
No, the thing is, this lady was really... Well, they were really disliked this person. They were a land baron who was raising land prices and making it very difficult for the residents to... They were basically a gentrifier, to put it bluntly, and they were very disliked, and everyone was very excited when they got their big comeuppance in public on CNN Live, which is so beautiful, so beautiful.
That's the Second Life story. But it's actually a First Life story, isn't it? Because that really happened. That is there footage of it on YouTube that out?
Yes. Okay. I'll link it when I'm done. It may not have been CNN. It may have been like some tech show or something, but it was definitely live TV. And yeah. But yeah, after that happened, along with a few other things, there was a big incident in Europe involving Second Life that I do not want to talk about because of the rating, but basically adult activities were happening in Second Life that the European government was extremely upset about, and Second Life was actually going to be banned in Germany, and they were like, well, we're going to ban this kind of activity, but it got a bit of an ill repute in Europe for these kind of activities, which ended up giving a lot of businesses cold feet. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty reasonable. But I will say in the sense that, it doesn't seem like it, yeah, like there is too much for businesses to run in Second Life. It's obviously, it's an uncontrolled space to an extent. Now, I assume Linden Lab can go in and ban people if they're, you know, like literally breaking the game, but
Of course.
They're fairly hands off, I guess, with their moderation at this point.
They are, and they're not. There are certain, you know, there are certain activities that if they would get them in, that would get them in trouble in Europe that they absolutely ban. One of the big things is you can't have swastikas in SL, which has made the game so much better, by the way.
I seem to remember some, what was it? Like a swastika phallus, I think was a thing maybe at certain points,
I wouldn't doubt that.
Big,
How was the moderation generally? Do a lot of terrible people end up slipping through?
Well, there's not as many people working. Oh, again, there's it's not as... I don't think they have as big of a moderation staff as possible, and they are very, very hands-off, unless it's, like, something, again, that would get them in trouble in European law. Then they're very hands-on, and they will get your ass. But, yeah, a lot of people slip through because they're just... It's a very... It's a very libertarian space, and
can users in the thing actually kind of get people kicked out of an area? Like, if I join Berlin and I'm an asshole, can they get me kicked out? Or
yes, that's actually one of the that's one of the coolest things about SL is that if you have a region, you can kick out anyone for any reason. You can also block people, and the great thing about blocking people in SL is that when you do that, their avatar turns into a cloud, so if they are around you, you will just see a cloud. Now, you can make it not even show the cloud, but you can't see what they say, they can't talk to you, they can't do whatever to you, and they will just be a cloud, just kind of existing in your area. It's kind of beautiful. it's like Thanos snapping someone or whatever, I don't know. It's great.
That's pretty, that's good. That might be part of why the game has clung on. Other than, I don't think there's a... Like, I was trying to think of, like, what is Second Life but the next Second Life? Like, what is the replacement for? Because this game is in comparative decline. It's not, probably not going to go away anytime soon specifically because there's no real similar replacement. But I believe this went from tens of millions of users to sub-million at this point.
Like. Yeah, I think that the again, SL nerds listening, you can correct me and I won't mind, the concurrent, like, logon rate used to be, I don't remember what it used to be, but I remember, I think it was, like, over 100k or so. Right now, it's about 40k avatars logged on at a time, for the most part, and a very good chunk of those are just bots, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's probably not great, depending on the amount of, like, basically, I assume it's very expensive to run this with the servers, because there's probably a lot of servers running, but... It's an interesting game. It's an interesting space. Like, I was thinking, like, stuff like VR chat is kind of like this on a very small scale. Like, it doesn't have the grandioseness, but it replaces maybe some of the role-playing stuff, I think. Like, it's just kind of, you could use that as a smaller scale stuff, like, for small role-playing instances, I guess. But for the huge landmass and the huge, like, connected-ish world thing, that's, you can't do that, I don't think, in anything else still. You know, you've got, I guess, like, Minecraft is another one where that sort of thing, you can build big things, but it kind of is a different sort of thing, and obviously does not have the same level of, like, coding stuff that enables, I guess, like, the stuff to go on. Basically, I'm trying to hash out, like, what is Second Life's future, and I guess its place historically as well.
That's a good question. I can't say historically, even though it's been around for so long, so I should probably think about that. But the thing is, people have tried. There have been a lot of, because Second Life, there wasn't, it went open source at some point, and there is an open source, like, metaverse. Metaverse is kind of what they call the Second Life kind of spaces. And there was Active Worlds. Active Worlds, I think, may predate Second Life. There's that space. There's all these other spaces. But the thing about Second Life is that a lot of the older spaces have died, like in Worlds, a lot of open sim spaces. But, there are some newer ones, and Linden Lab seems to be the people behind them. I know there are two successors, one by Linden Lab, and then I think there's another, in more open source one by the former CEO of Linden Lab, Philip Rosedale. And I forget what that one's called off the top of my head. I do apologize. So there are successors. There are successors out there, and the successors want to be more VR focused, but that is so much more intensive, and you need more. Who knows? And the thing is, Second Life just keeps doing big, big updates to themselves, just constantly, constantly adding things. So, weirdly enough, I think the future of Second Life is Second Life.
That's interesting, because definitely Second Life feels like, it feels very, you know, basically 2003, like, it feels like a very exploratory, like, ooh, the internet and 3D and stuff, and it feels like that, but it's going to... It clings on. It hasn't gone away yet, which is always surprising. Like, I expect to hear one day, it's like, we're shutting it down! But no. And if they keep updating it, they obviously... I don't know. That's very, very interesting.
I think one of the main reasons why it's still around is that Second Life is, Linden Lab, they are basically landlords. Their big source of income are people renting regions from them, paying money to have land, and doing whatever they want that. Plus, they take a cut of every single, Linden exchange. So anytime you buy Linden from someone else, they get a cut of that. They get, I think they get a single $199 fee, $150, it's $150 or $199. And they make make money from that. And then the other thing. Yeah.
I've got a question I've been asked for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're new to Second Life, would you say you need to spend a lot of money to really enjoy it?
I would say it depends on what you want to get out of it. If you just want to explore, absolutely, you don't need to spend crap. You can just go in and have a good time. If you want to look, if you want to kind of do more of a dress-up type game thing with it, then yeah, you may want to spend a little bit of money, but there's a lot of really nice freebie places and stuff, and if you don't mind looking, like, kind of dated and stuff, you're totally fine. But if you do want to look really nice, if you have a really specific look you want, if you want to get one of the fancier avatars, you are going to have to spend a bit of money in the game. But you can play it for free. In fact, for years, I was just like playing with a free avatar and stuff like that until I was like, I want to be a raccoon. So I spend some money.
I think that's also a good summary of Second Life, you know.
I
want to be a raccoon.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, being a raccoon is a pretty good choice of a thing to be in general. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Eating trash sounds great.
So yeah, Bob, are you going to say anything more about Second Life? Because otherwise, I'm going to try and do the
unthinkable. I got one more question I feel is important enough to ask here.
Please do.
What kind of people would you say make up the user base Second Life?
Okay. So I am going to... Any old-time SL residents listening to me, I say this with love. It is a lot of... It is a lot of Gen Zs, a lot of younger folks in the furry spaces, stuff like that. Just, you know, teens with a lot of free time. And some millennials like me, some, you know, other folks. And then a shit ton of retirees, a shit ton of boomers, a lot of boomers. There's a lot of folks in the game who are old. And that's not all of them. There's again, a lot of teens who are just like, I want to be a cool furry or I want to be an edgelord or stuff like that. And but there are... especially when it comes to communities that are like well established and not completely falling apart and like that are really nice, a lot of the people who run those communities are, shockingly enough, older people who've had experience running communities in the past. So it's like,
is there any way to tell exactly how their age just by looking at them, or do you just I'm sorry, that probably sounds really dumb.
No, there isn't. You just have to ask or spend your time on the forums and see folks talking and stuff like that. Or they have their age in the whatchamacallit. But in my experience, I have run into so few 20-somethings. It's either 18 and under or 30 and above. 20-somethings, I know you exist in PlaySL, but I rarely run into you. It's like... teens and 40 plus people.
Boy, if they can get those teens though, if they can do that, then the game will last forever.
Mm-hmm, because mm-hmm.
they'll just become they'll become the users group from that point on. If they can successfully get that. Interesting stuff. And obviously, older people have plenty of spare time at some point, mm-hmm. so it actually makes sense that they would.
Yeah, you know. And you need a lot of spare time to really enjoy SL, to build an SL, to figure out how the hell to play SL. yeah.
All right, well, I gotta say we gotta rank it, which I didn't want to do because...
Can I say one more thing, please?
Well, if you keep blowing out this morning, I will... Right.
I just want to say I really had a great time playing this, Alex. We spent some time, you know, I was doing some research on this game, and I just want to say really quick, there is just so much effort people put into this, and it is just incredible to see, and it's really, I would honestly say, almost a work of art, and I feel there is just so much that people do not see because they don't play this, and it's really sad to me. Like, if you just want to go and, like, look at 1920s Chicago, just like a perfect recreation, this is where you do it, and... people put so much effort into make it perfect, and people don't see it.
Yeah, yeah. And with the newest scripting language, the experience language, you can do some really cool things, including there's an entire first person shooter with a leveling system now too in part of that people have made in it. It's really incredible what you can do, but a lot of folks just haven't seen it. Check it out. If you're curious, just sign up. It's free. And it'll take you give yourself a couple hours to get used to the controls and then a couple more hours to get used to the controls again. But I think it's worth it just to see all the old stuff, all the new stuff, and yeah, the hours of effort people have put into this.
So before we do rank it, because you said some of the older stuff, there are basically abandoned areas or graveyard areas basically where there's just people don't hang out anymore, but it exists, or does it get kind of discreetly removed?
It depends. Some builds, like the Ivory Tower of Prims, the owner died, but it was such an important historical landmark that other people took it over and are kind of paying for the land and stuff like that. And the thing is, there are a lot of spaces that are abandoned. They are just straight up abandoned. No one's paying rent anymore on them. But because it would look too empty in Second Life, Linden Lab, they don't clear out a lot of the older spaces. They just kind of let them be. And so, yeah, there are some of those around, but
spooky.
Yeah, it is actually real spooky.
That's something that I like. I do like abandoned kind of MMO spaces. Those are very interesting spaces because they're just like, wow, there's no people, but there's supposed to be thousands or tens of thousands of people here.
It's weird.
All right, I'm done messing around if you guys are ready to rank.
He's not going to mess around. He's going to go right for the jugular here. Where the hell are you putting Second Life?
I have an idea.
Mm-hmm. Do you have the list on hand, Alex?
No, if you could send that to me. But I have an idea. I've been thinking about it.
Okay.
For the past few weeks.
You're vaguely familiar with the list. What have you been thinking?
Well, okay. I think it should either be at the you can totally disagree with me, and I'm sure you will.
I probably will.
At the number one spot.
Oh, God.
Wait. It should be at the number one spot and at the bottom spot at the same time, because while I lauded this game, I did not go on into how horseshit it is to try to play it. It's either that or it should be square in the middle, either at the top, the bottom, or the middle. And I know that's a terrible idea.
Well,
but
there is one option. A long, long time ago, we technically ranked Crazy Bus.
No,
but,
we're not ranking it. We're not putting it in the bus. It's not going in Crazy Bus.
We decided that we weren't actually going to give it a number.
No, we can't do that. That was once. Okay. That was once, because Crazy Bus, you know, we didn't want to put it on our list. All right. It's disgusting.
Yep. Let's start at the middle, then. I think that's a reason.
I think finding the middle is a good idea. But where is the middle, Bob?
Where's the middle?
So right now, because our list is top and bottom heavy, you know, it's very curvy. So at the bottom is densely packed with crap.
The middle
and the top
is
densely packed with good.
The middle is 281, and that would be Dragon Ball Z Supersonic Warriors.
I gotta tell you, it's not gonna put it at that exact one. Dragon Ball Z Supersonic Warriors Second Life. That's I gotta tell you, Bo, if you go up a tiny bit, UN Squadron, our classic middle, is still almost in the middle. It's only 10 games above at 272. UN Squadron is right there. That was the middle of the list. It's still there, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I think if I rank this above Tempest 2000, Yak would find me and destroy me, so no.
Tempest 2000, I think it's lower, isn't it? No, yeah, we were mean to
pretty,
Tempest
2000.
I think it deserves to be high on that for being just so ambitious, and I do always appreciate the games that appeal to people that are not into what is the gamer game.
This is a game literally anybody can and do play, so.
I didn't mention it, but a lot of the residents are disabled as well. And in fact, disabled residents use Second Life not just to build community when they're isolated, but to make money basically when they can't do other jobs. So again, it does bring in a lot of people who just do not and cannot or will not play other games.
As much as I'd like to put it in the middle of the list, I do want to give it a good number. I don't want to tear it up, but I can't put it number one because I don't know, that'll end slow. That's one of the show ending choices here. I am going up a little bit, not like the biggest ups here ever, but I keep scrolling up because I keep thinking,
I have an idea.
Yeah.
I mean, Lemmings is a game that I think was very popular for a time for being a very wide-reaching game. It was a game that was popular with a lot of people. I know that's kind of a flimsy, but it's just an idea.
You're going to have to give me numbers, Bob. Oh, it's just about...
That's 278.
I think it deserves, like, for what it did and the stuff that, you know, it enables is very good if it's people who basically use it as an escape from being sort of trapped.
Yeah, it can go a lot higher.
I think it deserves a little bit higher. Just, like, at 229 is Shenmue. I think this is actually lands the sort of ambition of Shenmue, like, kind of better in a weird way. Just, like, the way it emulates space is interesting.
You know, that's a good point, and I think I'd be okay putting above Shenmue.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I'm. You know what? I think I may be more negative on Second Life than both of y'all, but you're bringing up great points. And yeah, no. Well, to be fair, y'all haven't ever experienced Second Life drama, which is makes every other form of internet drama look...
Yeah. good drama. So at 222, we have Mega Man Battle Network, which it's just because it's got the word network in the title is the only reason I'm looking at it. that's how it works here. I kind of happy to get it in this sort of range, I think. Let's have a look. Bob, what do you think?
I'm okay above Shenmue, but
okay.
Maybe not below Star Fox? Well, not above Star Fox.
Can we put it above BioShock and below Secret of Mana?
Sure, is that okay with you, Alex?
That is totally fine with me. Again, I was originally thinking of it as both at the top and the bottom at the same time, so this is perfect.
Okay, well, we'll put it there. I figure once we fill in the list, it'll end up more in the... Well, I don't know where it'll end up, but it'll be there! It's going above BioShock and below Secret of Mana. Or Mana. Second Life by Linden Lab. The game that is not a game, but is definitely a game, because it has games in it, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's... Technically, yeah, it's got that's how it works.
All right, that's where it's gone. Thank you so much for joining us, Alex, because we would have been very... We would have been stumbling around like, I don't know, it's the thing. Good luck. Thank you very much. I hope everyone enjoyed Alex talking about Second Life. It's such passion there. You know, great.
I love the game. I also sometimes absolutely hate the game, but I really do love the game.
We would have been completely lost without you here, so thank you so much for your time.
No worries. If you ever want someone to ramble to correct you angrily about Linden Lab's name again, just have me on.
I am sure we will have that happen to us somehow.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101, I know I did, by subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GCNRX and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.